Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Thank God for the bitter ender and brave hearts. We got troops coming here to rest my voice. I've been screaming and cussing the Jews for 2 hours straight, so my voice is about gone. But, you know, so we got reinforcements. So I'm going to shut up. Let me tell you about the bitter ender. I'm going to say this. Hope I don't embarrass you, bitter ender. But there ain't nobody left.
But go ahead.
The bitter ender is one of a dying breed. Even back in the day, we so fondly remember, there wasn't many men like the bitter ender. That's true. And I know I know Rich may lie in public, but Rich told me this pretty much the same thing, that the bitter ender is one of a kind. And I'll tell you what, from Memphis, it was, about 550, 600 miles, I guess. But I rode a fur piece to and fro with the bitter ender, and he saved my old knee. My old knee was messed up, and he was able to drive that car. My knee is miraculously healed. Go figure that. But you couldn't think of a better person, a better man, a better gentleman, a better Christian to ride with the bitter ender. God bless him. I just love him like a brother. And I'm the same way with the Rich over there, even though he's got the little beard. But we love all of our guys.
He's distinguished.
Yeah. No, he's one of our distinguished rednecks. But he's a redneck with a reef of Vanderbilt. Well, anyway, I'm going to shut it. And the bitter ender is going to warm your heart some more, because he's going to tell you a little bit more about the wonderful family, people that love each other. We loved each other in that meeting hall. And there's not enough of that. But anyway, I'm going to shut up. Bitter ender, you and Braveheart, take over, because my voice is shot.
Well, it's an honor to be on with Monica, just really to share the program with her and all the things that she's done and what a tremendous life she's had and all the talent she has as a musician and a author and all the things like that. I can't come close to that.
Oh, Gene, now stop it. Stop it.
Now, I do have some musical talent. I can play the radio. I can do that. That's about it.
I can hum.
No, well, listen, I got suckered on this trip. Eddie made up this fantastic story about this kid running into him with a bicycle and hurting his knee. And I felt real sorry for him. I said, well, you sit over there and ride, and I'll drive, because that's what I've done for the last 25 years, driving that medical truck. So I was driving. But then we get to the hotel, and he would limp from the room down to the elevator on his left knee. And we get to the lobby, and then he started limping on his right knee. And I go, wait a minute. I think I'm being suckered on this deal right here.
I got to see the elevator. Yes,
no,
sir.
I was glad to help out on that. When you have to sit there and keep your foot on the throttle and in the same position, your knees and ankle and everything can really get stiff. So I was glad you were able to ride, and I could drive a little bit for you there, and hope that helped out some.
I was able to stretch all the way out. I stretched out. I was 7 feet tall. I was stretched out, so.
Well, I'll send you my medical bill from Dr. Andrews next week to take care of that. Physical therapist. We had a great time last weekend. I've had to miss 2 weekends. 2 weekends ago, we had the Cub Scouts camping out at the Forest Home there in Chapel Hill. So I had to kind of stay down there and keep an eye on things with them. They're really great. They come out usually and have a camp out in the spring and one in the fall. And then sometimes the Boy Scout troops come out there and camp out. And it's great for them because we've got great big mowed areas where they can pitch their tents, and got a permanent restroom building there. And there's plenty of firewood for them to build fires and things like that. And they have different types of assignments they have for getting their rank in the Cub Scouts and the Boy Scouts. And they've got plenty of woods back there. They can take hikes on the old wagon road. I think that's one of the requirements they have. And they've helped us a lot, clearing brush and doing things like that. So we really appreciate having them. And then last weekend, of course, y'all have gone over this about the 20th anniversary of the political cesspool that James Edwards put on in Greenville, South Carolina. And Greenville is really, really a nice town. The downtown is well kept up, very clean, very safe. It looks like a lot of the old buildings have been restored. And there's an area down there called the Riverwalk, and this small river runs right through the middle of town, and there's a waterfall there. And it's a great place just to hang out. And then all these shops up and down either side of the river. So if you get a chance to go through that part of South Carolina, the southeast, we would highly recommend Greenville as a place to go. We went one morning to the South Carolina Confederate Museum. And it's not far from the main street there where we were staying, where the conference was in downtown. And it's an old house, has about five rooms, and I mean it is cram-packed full of all sorts of Confederate artifacts, rifles and uniforms and flags. But the neatest thing was they had the original South Carolina secession ordinance and all the signatures of the delegates to the secession convention that signed that on December the 20th. 1860, when South Carolina decided they'd had enough of Uncle Sambo, and they decided to bail out on him after the election of Lincoln. And to see that with all those signatures, and it's about, what was it, Eddie, about 3 feet by 3 feet, something like that. It's a great big piece of paper, parchment.
Yes, exactly.
That they'd all signed. And, of course, sure, they got exactly. It framed. Yeah. So that was really interesting to see that. And then to see a lot of the other things that they had in there. And, you know, it wasn't just weapons and things. They had a lot of the women's dresses that they wore. And it's interesting that certain dresses were worn for certain occasions. And, of course, they had a couple of the black mourning dresses that you'd wear when somebody in the family had passed away. And kind of a neat place. They could have used a gigantic warehouse. They had so much in there, just crammed in wall to wall. So hopefully someday they'll be able to get them a bigger place and spread it out a little bit more. But it was really interesting. And then the conference itself had some great speakers. And I know, Eddie, y'all had probably already talked about this. I always enjoy going to things like this with the political cesspool or the American Renaissance or League of the South, because you get together with like-minded people. And everyone is so polite and so courteous and so friendly. It's always like a family reunion of people that you've seen before, and you're so excited and glad to see them again and start swapping these old stories and things like that. It's just always a pleasant weekend when you get together with the conservative people and the Southern people and that camaraderie and hospitality, it just kind of overwhelms you. And you're about a day or two into it and you say, I haven't heard any arguments, I haven't heard anybody being called down that, that didn't happen, I don't know what happened here, around all this stuff like that. It's always just a pleasant experience to go to one of those conferences. And
can I just interject something, Jim?
Fire away. Yes, ma'am.
The other thing about being amongst people who know and understand, the things that we care about and whatnot, it just puts us at ease so that we don't, always have this feeling of dis-ease, which turns into disease, but it just puts you at ease and you can just be yourself, just speak forthrightly without being concerned that, you're just going to get, somebody's going to blindside you because misunderstand or hate you for what you said or call you a hater or just all this nonsense that's going on. So it's really nice for a change to be among people. I can just imagine it. I wish I had been there. I listened to the archives I think it was just a couple of days ago, I listened to the archives. It sounded wonderful.
Yes, ma'am.
Anyway, I didn't want to take too much time, so
no,
back
no, no,
to you.
That's perfectly
back
all right.
You.
Yes. Thank you for adding that. And you're so exactly right about that, about being with people that have that same type of mentality, same type of respect for courtesy. Let me just give you one example of that. One of the speakers there was Sam Dixon. He's a lawyer from Atlanta, and he always speaks up for our people and our cause and warns us what's going to happen to us if we don't make a stand for our history, our heritage, and our beliefs. And a couple of years ago, James organized a bus trip from South Memphis up to Fort Pillow, the scene of the battle at Fort Pillow on the Mississippi River that Forrest fought to capture the fort in 1864. So they asked me to go and speak and just give a little overview on the battle and what happened at the state park there, and I did. And somebody asked a question, and I answered them. And, well, we'll come back after the break. I want to make a compliment to Sam and what an example of what type of person he is. It'll back up what Monica said.
I wish I could have heard that speech, but I was out running around getting the thing set up. Be right back, folks.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The Ennis is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Oh, dear, Blood River Radio family. We're going to go right back to the reinforcements who are resting my voice, and they're also covering things that they're doing it better than I could do. So anyway, go ahead, Bitterender. You were speaking before we went to the break. Go ahead, fella.
Well, we were talking about one of the speakers there, and somebody I've heard on several occasions, I always admire how smart he is, and that's Sam Dixon, is an attorney from Atlanta, and talking about our people and what's happening to us and our history being destroyed and maligned and rewritten and about taking up for ourselves. And we were talking about, we'd gone a couple of years ago on that trip, that bus trip that James organized from Memphis up to Fort Pillow on the Mississippi River. So they asked me to talk about the battle and what really happened when General Forrest captured the fort there. And I did, and then just threw it open for questions. And somebody had a question. It really wasn't about Fort Pillow. It was about another subject during the war. And I gave them a number of individuals that I had read before and thought it was pretty much okay. And then when we got back to the hotel, we went on the tour, went to the visitor center, saw their little video that they had, and I warned them about that, about the misinformation that's going to be in this video. And some people in the audience were going, oh, come on, boo, that's not right. So anyway, that was kind of interesting. And so we got in the bus and about an hour trip back down to Memphis, and Sam called me over to one side of the lobby as we were coming back to the hotel. And he said, now, what you said about the numbers of those people is really not accurate. And he said, you know, there's a lot more research and information and everything. And, you know, I really admired him for disagreeing with me in the way he did it. He didn't jump up right in the middle of when I was speaking in front of everybody up there at the state park and say, oh, no, that's not right, that's not right.
That was me,
dude.
To make
a big show for himself. For himself. He didn't do it on the bus. He didn't do it in front of everybody in the lobby as we were getting off the bus and heading back into the hotel. He called me over to the side of the lobby and very privately, in a very calm, normal voice, explained his idea and why he had the information that he thought was more correct than what I had given. And I know it would be hard for a lot of people to understand. You even admire somebody even more when they disagree with you and the way he did it. And that's the type of respect I have for all of those people that were speaking there at that conference. So that's just the type of individuals that were there. And I'm sure if I'd said something in somebody else's area of expertise, they would have probably corrected me in the same way. They wouldn't have jumped up right in the middle of everybody sitting there and hollered out, oh, no, that's not right, you know, to shine the spotlight on themselves. Eddie, do you remember the name of the Englishman that was supposed to speak there and got barred by our immigration?
Golly.
Anyway.
Nick Griffin.
Yeah.
From
and
Nick Griffin.
He was supposed to be there. And our immigration would not allow him in this country because he spoke out against immigration and he was very for nationalism of England or any country and not being having it just turned into some third world garbage dump. So I thought, so he had to be on a Zoom conference. And once again, one of these brilliant people that they have for these conferences. And I thought, how ironic that here is a well-qualified, articulate, very knowledgeable individual. They won't let him into this country. But if you're a gangbanger and you're a drug dealer or you're a sex trafficker, you can just walk across the Rio Grande and just waltz right on in and go anywhere you want to in the country. Oh, and get a hotel room and get medical care and, you know, anything else you need. So
free education.
Free everything, yes.
Everything.
And you're inducted into the Army and the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
And you can vote too, right?
Oh, they're going to get them voting. Yeah, they'll definitely get them voting before this presidential election in November. You can bet on that. One other thing, and I hope this will be a good segue into some things that Monica wants to talk to us about, was Harry Cooper. And he founded an organization called the Shark Hunters. And he met, quite a few years ago, some of the German U-boat captains, submarine captains. And he just has a tremendous amount of respect for the honor and integrity of these men that were fighting to defend their homeland. And he's been trying to remove this stigma and smears that have been thrown against anybody that was in the German military, the Wehrmacht, the Luftwaffe, the Navy, the submarine officers, anything like that, and telling the true story of how they operated and how many times, this is one of the points he made in the conference, that he said that their job, the captains of the submarine said their job was to sink the ship. Their job was not to kill the crew. And many times they would surface and use a surface deck gun on the submarine and fire a shot at the ship and tell them they had so many minutes to get in the lifeboats and get off the ship and get out of the way. And then they would send a torpedo into it or the deck gun and take it out. So it wasn't that they were trying to sneak up on them and kill off the crew members. They just wanted to sink the ship and keep supplies from going to England or, after the Americans entered the war, sending it over to their troops. So I thought that was really interesting that somebody, and he's been to Germany, been to their homes. Of course, most of them have passed away now, but this has been over quite a few years that he has met with these officers and what high-class gentlemen they really were. And I thought that was very impressive, and it's something that I've been reading a lot more, and the more factual history you read, the more you learn what really went on. and what we had pounded into our head when I was in elementary school about the evil Nazis and them sneaky Japs and all this kind of stuff, the more you read about it, the more you start to see how much propaganda has been dumped on us down through the years. And if the government lies on that, how many more things is the government in Washington lying to us about? So, Monica, I think during the break you said you had something you wanted to bring up, and
yes,
we would certainly like to hear what you have.
Well, yeah, thank you, Gene, because that is a perfect segue into this. Just recently I was browsing through other parts of our website, the Truth and Justice for Germans.com website, and I reread the message from the founder and first president of that society. And I'm telling you, I mean, of course I had read it several times over when I started in, you know, to be involved in this group of people, with this group of people. And I hadn't read it for a few years, though, and I am telling you, it was so moving again, all over again. I would encourage people to find it. If you go to the truthandjusticeforgermans.com website, and that's just all one word spelled out, then you go to the About page. I think that's where it is. Yes, it is. And then under the About, you know, you hover on that, you'll find the message from the founder and first president. And he calls it, well, it's by a German man in Canada. He has since kind of gone underground a little bit, and so I didn't put his name here. But he starts it out like this. He says, "Many of you, I am sure, are shocked by the scenes portrayed in Hellstorm and had a hard time watching it and processing it. I feel for you. This is the reality I have lived with since I was a small child. I wasn't there, but my parents were, and they described these things to me clearly, and their memories became a part of me and have also motivated me and continue to do so. My father was about 16 towards the end of the war. He was learning to fly in gliders, hoping to become a Luftwaffe pilot, and being trained for the flak artillery. He wanted so desperately to shoot back, but they didn't let him. Towards the end, he became so fatigued from the day and night terror bombings that he finally said, 'To hell with running to the shelters. I just want to sleep. If they kill me, they kill me.' And so he stayed home in bed and slept through it and survived, while many others he knew did not. My mother and her family survived many near misses. The apartment building next to hers was completely destroyed, and she lost numerous friends. She told me about the scenes of the smoking stumps of people who got stuck in the burning asphalt, and of the people who were cooked alive in their basement shelters, of close friends of hers who perished in a place where she was supposed to be but was prevented from being there by other circumstances. To this day, my mother just trembles at the sound of the Lancaster engines in TV films or real prop planes overhead, such as those used by search and rescue teams or forest fire crews. And both told of the horrible starvation in the aftermath and the brutality of the occupiers, how they would burn their leftovers from the mess halls to make sure the Germans got nothing. How U.S. soldiers would eat sandwiches in front of them and starving children, and then mash their leftovers into the ground in front of them and laugh or growl and shoo them away. They taught me to be grateful and not wasteful. They also told me about how wonderful, orderly, and peaceful things were before the war, how good it was compared to what their parents endured after World War I. They were not hungry, though not well off, but they felt secure and hopeful and part of a vibrant society and culture who were proud to be Germans." And I do hear the music, and we could talk a little bit about this. It does go on for quite a ways here, but that gives you a little bit of a flavor here.
I tell you, it's really hard to listen to, but we needed to hear it, and our audience, our listeners need to hear it, our family. Be right back, folks.
Program. proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Laura Winters. The long holiday weekend underway right now with millions of Americans flying and others taking to the road. Monday is Memorial Day. A new Fox News poll of registered voters finds 55% of Americans say they will not be planning a vacation this summer. 42% say they will be. Now, as for the reason some will not be taking a trip, 73% surveyed say they don't have the money. 15% say they just don't have the time. Forecasters warning of a very active, hyperactive hurricane season this year. NOAA predicting an 85% chance of an above normal season. There could be 17 to 25 named storms due to record warm water. The hurricane season starts June 1st and runs through November. Another setback for Democrats in the Senate as a border bill fails to pass. USA's John Schaefer on the story.
The Senate has witnessed the failure of a border security bill for the second time. Democrats are pointing fingers at Republicans, a move Senator John Cornyn of Texas anticipated.
Vulnerable Democrats, including the President of the United States, can try to fool the American people into believing that they really care when obviously they don't.
It's worth noting that Democrats, including California Senator Alex Padilla, also oppose the legislation. They express dissatisfaction with the absence of discussions on visa expansion or assistance for the Dreamers. Instead, the bill aimed to formalize catch-and-release policies and allocate a specific quota for daily asylum cases. I'm John Schaefer.
And turning now to sports action on the ice. In Game 2 of the NHL Conference Finals, the New York Rangers beating the Florida Panthers 2-1 in overtime and tie up the series one game apiece. Game 3 tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock Eastern. This is USA News.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airlines. Travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
This is Attorney Jason Rupp, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, the Bitter Ender and my dear little sister Braveheart, they're going to talk about this right here, and I'm priming the pump. I tell them during the break, I really don't understand how a human that's supposed to be human can be so pure evil and cruel. It's to first in the 1860s at the end of Lincoln's war against the South, how they could come down and rape old ladies, 11-year-old girls, could hang 10, 11-year-old boys, and 80-year-old men, and steal their food, to mock them, to turn armies of blacks loose on them, to rape them, to just do every, to put their stock inside of churches, their mules inside churches, just to rub sand and salt into the wound. How could they do that? And you know what? The same people, the same evil forces that did that into the South in 1865 when the South lay prostrate and bleeding and defenseless, the same force two generations later went over to Europe, actually in World War Part A, World War I, and later even more atrociously and horrifically in Germany in the Second World War at the end of the war there, and just were just so incredibly, beyond barbaric, they were satanic the way they raped every woman in Germany. They said every woman in Europe was raped, and a lot of them many times over and over. And I'm not talking about 18, 20, 20-year-old pretty young women. I'm talking about children, 8, 10-year-old girls, little boys, I'm sure, sodomized, and starved to death intentionally. I wonder how anyone that claims to be human could do that. And Sister Braveheart and the Bitter Ender are going to tell you how. Back to you, Braveheart.
Yeah, thanks. Exactly. So how is it that people come to do these terrible things during wars? Well, the primary ingredient is that they are just programmed to believe that their enemy is not human, that their enemy is evil, that their enemy takes babies on bayonets, throws them in the air and catches them back on the end of the spear and throws babies out of incubators, or all those atrocity stories that are told to whip the people up into a frenzy of hatred towards the enemy. And then the enemy is made out to be not human either. That is really the only way that they can get soldiers to behave that way in war. And so that's what happened. The Germans had been lied about since decades. The difference between the, you know, phase one and phase two of the world wars, like World War One and World War Two, is that after World War One, the lies were admitted to. After World War Two, they've only just escalated the lies against the Germans. I mean, you gave an example of a friend who should have known better that you talked about, Eddie, that just reacted when you drew a parallel between the Southerners. And this is good. We should draw a parallel, because sometimes people accuse me of, look, why are you talking about this old stuff? We got to talk about current stuff. Okay, well, let's bring it into the current stuff. And let's draw a parallel between what happened to the Southern states and to Germany. And okay, fast forward to the truckers' convoy in Canada. When they arrived in Ottawa, oh, there were some flags being hoisted. Of course, these were provocateurs, because the mainstream media just went crazy with this stuff. Oh, there's a swastika flag, like a Nazi flag. Oh, there's a Confederate flag too. These evil, you know, symbols. This is how they portrayed it. Let me just make that perfectly clear here. That's how the mainstream lying press, the mainstream media portrayed it, as these evil people, you know, the truckers' convoy, the truckers, all these people demanding freedom, that we don't get poisoned with a bioweapon, that we are free to breathe the air, that we don't have to abide and we don't consent to all their absolute tyrannical so-called health measures, which were actually death measures, you know, for this COVID plandemic mania. So anyway, but that was all equated with the evilness of so-called the evilness of the Nazis and the Confederates. So they did it for us. So I'll take a breath and hand it over to one of you to carry on with that.
It's interesting. The latest publication that I just received, the Barnes Review, it's, the subtitle is A Journal of Politically Incorrect History. And they have all kind of articles in there from ancient times up through modern times, shining the light of truth on what we had been taught before as factual historical information. And they point out all the lies and, just like you've said, the propaganda. And every couple of years, they print an issue, this May-June issue of 2024, on Southern subjects. And this one's called For the Love of Dixie. And then they've had one about 3 or 4 years ago, Defending Dixie. And here we go on page 62, The Civil War and the Crusade Against Germany, by Dr. Charles E. Weber. In this article, a respected scholar draws some disturbing parallels between the genocide raised against the South in the War for Southern Independence and the World War II crusade to neuter Germany. And so they've got pictures in there of Dresden, and then they've got pictures of what happened to Atlanta and Charleston, Jackson, Mississippi. And you could swap the pictures around. You couldn't tell the difference what was Dresden and what was Charleston or what was Richmond or any of the cities here. And they didn't, it took them a little longer to destroy the cities here because they didn't have bombers to fly over and just flatten the places. They had to do it by hand. So that is an excellent parallel between what was done by the U.S. government to the South during the war. And we weren't trying to, they call it a civil war, and that's a lie right there. Civil war is a war between two groups within a country, one country, for the control of the government of that country. And we had no desire to control the government of the United States. Still all we wanted to do was get out, and they could keep Lincoln. You know, he could not get enough signatures to even get on the ballot in seven states. And that was a fifth of the states at that time. So it'd be like today, Sleepy Joe Biden couldn't get enough signatures to get on the ballot in 10 of the states today, fifth of the states.
Wow, that's incredible. So,
he and what the Republican Party back then stood for, they couldn't even get enough signatures to get on the ballot in seven states. So it wasn't a question of him being kicked off the ballot like they tried to do with Trump. He couldn't even get on the ballot. So, you know, we were, and he only got 39% of the vote in the presidential election in 1860, but he won because he got the electoral votes from the Northeast. So the Southern states said, no, that's it. We're not going to be a part of that because they've done everything they can or they could do to us over the last 10 or 12 years to incite slave insurrections in the South, to cut us off from foreign trade, to tax the agricultural South much more than they tax the industrial North. And these people have totally ignored the Constitution. So we joined voluntarily. We're leaving voluntarily. What's wrong with that? You know, we weren't going to start a war, but Lincoln said he needed a war, and he needed the South to fire the first shot to rev up anti-Southern sentiment in the North, and he got it. So the same thing here. A friend of ours who recently passed away, Buddy Kirtland, sent me a copy of Hitler's declaration of war against the United States. When the United States declared war on Japan, Japan was a German ally, and so Germany had to follow their ally and declare war on the United States. So the declaration was 38 pages, and 16 of the 38 pages were describing what the Americans had done prior to the war, when we weren't in the war. Prior to us getting into the war, and attacks against German ships, against German submarines, about sending supplies to the British, all the things that the Americans had done, 16 pages listing everything that Roosevelt had done, trying to sucker Germany into firing on the United States and giving Roosevelt and his cronies, mostly Jews and communists that were running the government and pushing his wheelchair around, and it giving them an excuse to declare war on Germany. And Germany wouldn't take the bait. And so he had to get a backdoor war with Japan to get a war with Germany. And that was the big emphasis. They said that all of our supplies, our military and everything was going to the war in Europe, and the war in the Pacific was on the second team. It just, the Navy and the Marines were going to have to handle that, and the Army was going to take care of everything in Europe first before they shifted there to the Pacific. So the more things happen, the more they stay the same, it seems like.
That's true. That's true.
More lies on top of lies.
I can't believe we're almost out of time. We'll take this last break of the third hour. We'll be right back, folks.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so very much for hanging on. And you people are family. I just wish, like I told Gene before you came on, I was telling the people, I wish we could get everybody that listens to Blood River Radio and everybody that listens to TPC, all of us together as a family, we could all meet someplace someday. That'd be great. I doubt that can ever happen, but it'd be great if we could meet, without having to be harassed by our enemies. But anyway, it's just nostalgic thought I had, so I'm going to go back to the bitter ender himself. Go ahead, Jay.
Well, the problem of meeting is the Antifas and the Black Lives Matter and the liberal people that are so much for diversity and equity and inclusion, only if you agree with them. Why we can't have conferences in local hotels with meeting rooms, that we have to meet under a fake name. America, because if you meet in a hotel, you pay them a down payment, you sign a contract, and then the liberal haters find out where you are. They call up the manager and threaten the manager, threaten his family. We've got your home address. We're going to just burn your house. We're going to do this. These are the people that talk about diversity and equity and inclusion and peace and love and all that. If you agree with it. So we can't have conferences in meeting rooms in hotels. That's why the American Renaissance Conference every year, which is just put in a plug for them, it's going to be in November this year, meets at Montgomery Bell State Park right outside of Nashville. because if you threaten a park employee, that's a state employee. And that means the TBI, Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, will come after you and the Highway Patrol, and they have the park rangers out there when we meet to keep the crazy wackos way off on the other side, way down at the far end of the parking lot, and so they can't harass people coming into the lodge there for the meeting. So that's what you have to do to, yes, to have a meeting of like-minded conservative people, because the liberal nutcases will attack you. They will spit on you. They will holler all kind of vulgar things at the women that are coming to these meetings. And of course, you know, I enjoy it. I want to go at them. I played amateur hockey. I'm always ready to throw the gloves and sticks on the ice and go at it. But, you know, yeah, they tell us don't do that. So,
you know, I got a funny story about that.
To take one or two of them out. So anyway,
I got one quick funny story I'll tell you about that, Gene. We were up there the last time when Blood River did 7 hours of radio up there. And as I was going in, they had all the crazies fenced off. And the park rangers were there, and as I was going by the fenced off crazy, he said, "Hey, you're a blanky blank neo-Nazi, aren't you?" I said, "Hell no, I'm not a neo-Nazi. I'm a real Nazi, the hardcore Nazi." I said, "My grandfather was Hermann friggin' Göring, you freak." And they didn't know how to take that. And the park rangers were just straight faced. But when we got down the way from there, they were laughing their ass off. They said, "You won't believe what this guy just told those weirdos up there, man." But I'm like you, Gene. I enjoyed it, man. I would have enjoyed it better if we could have been in that fence with them.
They're such pitiful humans.
Alfred loves to do that too. You take the sail, not the sail out of their winds, the winds out of their sails when you answer completely opposite than, you know, they always expect you to get defensive when they're calling you some kind of a name that's really been demonized. And then you just take it, own it. takes the wind right out of their sails. I apologize for butting in there. I thought we were still on the break when I just got off my phone call. Sorry about that.
Oh, you're fine.
Then I realized you were actually talking
for serious.
That's okay. Yeah. You're always welcome to elevate a conversation that Eddie and I have. If you butt in, that really elevates the conversation. Don't worry
about
that.
Sure does.
I don't think so. Anyway, we were going to talk about how do we connect the dots for people, you know, like solutions, right, Eddie? In terms of, like Gene was talking about, you know, in your case in the South, when people still are bamboozled and indoctrinated about the Germans, that you just say, well, look, you know that you've been lied about, you know, your people have been lied about for how long, 160 years or something?
160 years. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so why would anybody think that, oh, the media, the mainstream, they're telling us the truth about everything else? Same thing, you can do it with taking something that's easier to dissect, and I think by now every kindergarten child knows that 9/11 it was not presented to us as it really happened, like what they've told us in the mainstream was just a pack of lies so that they could get that war on terror going, and it's all, you know, a false narrative was told to us about what actually happened that day. So that one's a little bit easier for people to understand. And then you say, look, if they lied to us about something big like that, then again, why do you think they're telling us the truth about the Germans?
Well, I help a friend of mine with a weekly TV show he has on the local, I guess like public broadcasting. It's not at, but, you know, the local TV station at one of the colleges there, he has a conservative TV program. And they invite politicians and people with conservative groups to come in and talk. And one point I always bring up to them is about the lies that we get from the media, and they believe it. I guarantee you, when you say the media lies, they agree with you 100%. I say, we all know the 2020 election was stolen, and it's as plain as the nose on your face that it was stolen, and yet the media and the government and the so-called Department of Justice that we have in this country tell us, oh, no, it was all fair and everything like that. And all these stories about votes being brought in at 3 o'clock in the morning and added to the count and dragging it out for four, five, six, 8 days, whatever it was, until they got enough votes to swing certain states. Oh, no, no, that didn't happen. That's just a conspiracy theory. Well, that's one way, Monica, you can get to these people. You say, well, you know as well as I do, the 2020 election was stolen. The government tells us it wasn't. So if they're going to lie to us about that, wouldn't they also lie about the history of World War II and propaganda against the German people? And, you know,
exactly.
There's so many instances that we can use.
And another thing to add to that, I mean, that one is such a hard nut to crack because it's been so ingrained through all kinds of emotional ways, through the movies, the whatever music accompanies certain scenes, that affects people's emotions, how it gets into the brain. It's just so solidly in there. But then another thing to add to that discussion is to say, look, you get criminalized just for bringing the evidence into the court. In fact, lawyers who have tried to do that go to jail themselves, like in Germany. And in many, many, many countries now, there are laws against questioning the piece of history. And then you just ask people, say, how is it that it, like, does it make sense to make a law to enshrine history into place? Like, shouldn't laws be more about, you know, what you shouldn't kill your neighbor, or you shouldn't, you know, vandalize or steal or, you know, rape, that kind of thing. That makes sense to have laws like that. But does it make sense to have a law about what is actually correct history? I mean, it just doesn't.
Yes.
Yeah.
And to me, I've always told people, if you have to make a law to defend the hoax, the whole hoax or something like that, that to me is the deciding factor that tells me, no, this is made up. If you have to have a law to penalize people that present historical facts and they can't present facts and you throw them in jail if they do, that is a clear-cut reason why I'm not going to believe this story over here.
Right.
I'll believe the story about the Easter Bunny and Santa and you know, the headless horseman and all this other stuff. I'll believe that before I believe this story that you throw people in jail for just presenting proof.
And I would say, yes. And I would say we can tie this all together with what's going on now, because they're making all kinds of laws against us, quote unquote, haters. And let's tie that together with the Hellstorm stories and what that German man in Canada who founded the Truth and Justice for German Society, what he said about the hatred that was displayed towards the Germans in their act, like the victors' actions against them, and just cruelties. So that was the real hate, right? But now if we point these things out, or if we point out Jewish power, or if we point out the truth about any number of things that are going on currently, then we are called haters, and there are all kinds of laws springing up. I mean, you have yours in the United States, you know, to zip your lips shut tight, 69E. We have laws here, the online harms bill, which can put you in jail for life if you dare, like just for things that you've posted online that they call hate, but really truth is hate to those who hate the truth. And that is a fact. I mean, the judge at the end of our trial in Germany, he looks at me and he says, you know, even we learned that even musicians and composers can be haters. And he's looking me squarely in the eye when he said that. And
oh,
I thought,
God.
was he at the same trial that I was at? It was bizarre. It was literally quite bizarre. So tying those things together, everything is inverted. Everything is inverted. It's just completely backwards. I better hand it back to Eddie.
Speaking of...
Thank you, Monica. Certainly enjoyed. It's an honor to be on the program with you. Thank you.
Oh, I totally enjoyed this, Gene, with you. Thank you very much. And thank you, Eddie, for having us on
again.
Well,
thank you. Thank both of y'all. And Rich is looking into those laws as we speak, the new anti-Semitic law that was passed by the House of Representatives. We don't know if it's going to the Senate. We don't know what the penalties are going to be, but we're keeping a close eye on that because it could very well affect Blood River. Anyway, thank you so much, guys, for coming in tonight. Monica and Gene, thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Lizzie, for running the board. Thank you, dear Blood River Radio family, for tuning in. And we'll be here, God willing, same time, same place next week. Good night, everybody.